right?
Yeah.
Oh, as soon as he started playing with it, I said he's gonna put it in his ears. Yeah. And Rachel was like, how do you know that? Like, I can write these movies. I'm good at that stuff. But yeah, cotton picking and then
so much foreshadowing.
What else was that?
And stay.
Yeah.
Oh, and then, so
yeah, that's where you're from, right? This.
Yeah.
I grew up. I don't know if I told you. I grew up like 40 miles from there. Yeah. They lost a huge game to Ohio State.
I know.
I was crushed.
Me too.
I thought it was
a
funeral.
I didn't know
what
it was. They couldn't get past that one, was it?
I really thought there was hope with like that. They couldn't get past that fourth down, but they couldn't get another down.
Right.
They had it for most of the game. They just couldn't hold on to it.
It was great.
I think McSorley's going to make the NFL.
You think so?
I think he probably will.
He's
very good.
At one point, she was wearing a blue shirt, and she was wearing a red and white, and they were sitting next to each other, and it was like a regular play.
Yeah.
I think it's just symbolic of like the right and left wing. Like he's on the left side, she's on the right. It's so interesting. I love that movie.
Why are you? Because I saw the film.
It wasn't about you. You can tell me. I wish someone would have told me. I feel like I was living under a rock. If you have your flash drives, I'll take them.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, but I have new flash drives for you.
Okay. I thought we would.
No, we're moving ahead.
Well, okay. It's so great.
Okay, is there an issue? Why do I have a perfect correlation on the Pearson correlation? I think that was a mistake.
No.
I'm confused.
That's you.
You're
0.6.
Mm-hmm. How come nobody else has one?
Because.
I don't know.
On the left side, it says Holly, and on the column, it says Holly.
Oh.
So everyone where their row themselves meets their column of themselves gets the one.
Okay. And then
this is correlations with the composite experts. So each of these, so AO, 0.662, HR, 0.677, that's you, SD2, 0.713,
mm-hmm.
That's how you read it.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right. Just don't worry about these columns. All you should pay attention to is the column of the experts and each of the raters.
Okay.
The rest of it is just.
Well.
Yeah. Well, if you're interested in how you correlate with somebody else in the group.
Yeah.
You could find out.
I don't want to give you a new one until you give me.
Like, for example, okay, with Amanda. You listening?
I was like, do you want the freedom?
With Amanda, you correlated 0.632. Right? So the other numbers do mean something. Just for our purposes of reliability, they don't mean anything right now.
Okay. So 0.677 for me.
That's it. Right there.
Can't complain.
No? You're right up there. In fact, everybody did very, really well. And if you keep doing this well, we'll have to stop practice early.
Yeah.
And just start coding the real deal.
You might catch up to me at this rate.
No.
I haven't even started.
You have so much experience ahead of everybody else.
Thank you.
But.
Oh, perfect. I'm missing one.
So, that is the first document, and here's the second document that I compiled. So, item number, standard deviation from the mean, the ratings of the experts. These are obviously composited ratings, thus the 0.5s occasionally. And then each of your individual ratings for each item. Okay? So I then sorted the items according to the from most deviant from the standard, from the mean to least. And we've got four items that had a standard deviation of two or more. And I thought, obviously, we should probably focus on those four and then keep going down the list as we have time. But I really want to get to those four because they show the most deviation from the mean of all the items. And I haven't yet looked at them, but I'm guessing that they might be items that we've talked about before, but I'm not sure. Someone get the door that's kind of distracting me. Thanks. So the first item is 13, which is child is animated. And by the way, I have the video. If we want to review parts of the video, we can actually do that in here. So I just want to make that available to you guys. But the first item is item 13, child is animated or excited, which I feel that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? Which, so prove my point. Placed toward characteristic direction, child appears excited or aroused in some way. Child becomes animated and talkative in response to therapist comment. Uncharacteristic of child appears bored, dull, lifeless, subdued. Therapist greets child, he shrugs his shoulders, sluggishly sits and stares. In other words, how students respond to me when I lecture. So, let's look at everybody's responses. So the experts place this item in pile 8. Now, I don't know whether they both placed in pile 8 or one person placed in pile 7 and the other person placed in pile 9, but neither one, just the laws of mathematics would not allow for one of them placed in below 7, right? Because let's say someone put it in 6, well, I guess, no, 6 and 9, let's say, it comes out to less than 8. So wherever these two experts placed the item, they didn't place it below 7. I know that based on the laws of mathematics. So, it was either 8 and 8 or 7 and 9, which is pretty tightly reliable. So we have here a 9, a 6, which I'll still accept because it's within 2. 9, 8, okay, very good so far. That would not explain the deviation of 2.46. Okay, so now we have a 1.
I meant to put that the other way, I think.
Dyslexia strikes.
Yeah.
Okay, well that, so that explained.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to remember the right piles are characteristic, the left piles are uncharacteristic. So if you were to put that in 9 now, just think how much higher your you might have been competing with Doreen there for the top correlation. Who knows? So just keep try to remember that. All right. So that was kind of a fluke. Let's go to item 25 is the next one on our list. Okay. And we have here child has difficulty leaving the session. We have not spoken about that one yet. So the question is, how characteristic was this child leaving the session compared to all the other items? Is it characteristic? Child manifests discomfort or awkwardness at the conclusion of the session. For example, child prolongs discussion or play once the end of the hour is announced. Child refuses to leave. How characteristic was that of this session? Or uncharacteristic, child ends the hour with considerable ease. For example, child dashes out the door when the therapist announces the end of the hour. So, let's see where everybody is. And we have the experts who said that it's not characteristic of the session.
No, they put it as an eight.
I'm sorry. Eight. That's the standard deviation. Sorry. It's eight. So we got 9, 7, 8, 8. Fine. And we have 9, 8, 9, 8.
I must have read it
one.
Wrong. Because, like, she clearly wanted to stay longer. So I must have read that one wrong.
She clearly wanted to stay longer.
In the session. Like, she was having a hard time leaving.
Wait, but you
put
it in
characteristic. She's saying she's placed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was looking at the other
KS. Right here. SA and ST. So, anyone want to argue for their rating? For example, Dorian, you put it in pile 8.
Yeah.
So, can you speak to that?
Well, she just didn't want to leave because she kept, like, playing or trying to help the therapist, like, clean the stuff out of the table or, oh, let me just do one more, she wanted the therapist to recognize what she's, like, playing.
Frankenstein.
Yeah, Frankenstein. And even the therapist told her, oh, you really don't want to leave. Like, she was... So it was very obvious. Oh, you don't want to leave today. Why is it so hard for you to leave today?
So you agree with that, Kim?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I don't know what happened.
Oh, okay, yeah. So another case of dyslexia?
Yeah, I think so. Because, like...
All right.
Even when you were reading it, I'm like, yeah. She, like, totally didn't want to leave. And
okay.
The number was like, oh, no.
So how much higher would your correlation have been had you placed it... No, I mean your overall correlation with the experts. Okay, so far, in one way I'm encouraged. These are just careless errors. These are not errors in understanding or anything like that, which means our trainings are going very well. So the third item of discussion is item 42. Item 42 where the... standard deviation is 2.20. The experts put it in 2.5, so one could have put it in 2, the other in 3. And then we have 4, 3, 7, so that's an outlier, 3. Two, three, seven is an outlier, and 8 is an outlier. So Stephanie, Kayla, and Marguerite are the outliers. So you guys could speak to that while I pull up the item itself. This is item, 42. Child ignores or rejects therapist comments and observations. Placed toward characteristic direction, if the child typically disagrees with, ignores, or rejects therapist suggestions, observations, and interpretation. For example, therapist makes an interpretation, child remarks in response to therapist, just forget about it. Covers ears or talks over the therapist. I had a patient once, 5-year-old patient, encapresis, using kindergarten class. The teacher observed this. His classmate, sitting next to him in his desk, said to my patient, "What's that smell?" My patient said to him, just ignore it, because he had pooped his pants. It's a true story. So just forget about it. Covers ears or talks over the therapist. Uncharacteristic if child responds with more elaborate at play, comments, associations to therapist remarks. Now, the experts place this in uncharacteristic. So, in general, this child responded with more elaborate at play, comments, or associations when the therapist had something to say. Three of you said, no. The child just generally ignored or rejected the therapist's comments and observations. So let's have some discussion about it.
I can start with, in my notes, I've noted that sometimes the therapist would ask questions and the child would just not answer them. I don't know which one. We have to clean up, she's ignoring her. A few times, I can go through this a little closer, but yeah, I just felt often the therapist would say something or ask something and she just would not answer it.
Okay. So, and you felt that was pretty uncharacteristic of the session. I mean, that attitude was actually characteristic of the session. You put it in uncharacteristic pile. Doreen.
But when she says we have to clean up and she doesn't clean up, I thought it's going more for the box of wanting to stay in therapy. Not necessarily rejecting comments or observation that has to do with their conversation.
I also have here, at some point she got up and ignored her.
There was a couple times where she asked the same question.
Yeah.
It's like she asked it, got ignored, asked it again, and the child was like, oh, well, we were talking. And then she asked it again later on.
I know what you're talking about. The therapist was trying to gauge, let's talk and stuff, and I thought that was definitely, I didn't put this in the uncharacteristic, the uncharacteristic direction, but, looking back, yeah, that was a thing. The therapist was let's talk, and she was saying that they were talking already, and that she was kind of rejecting the opportunity to talk.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was very prominent, but I didn't. I thought it was more prominent that she was willing to talk, because that was kind of the universal understanding. Because throughout the video, there were so many occasions where she encouraged discussion, and there's actually an item that's she encourages elaboration of ideas and concepts. So
you're talking about the therapist.
Yeah.
Right, but this item is about what the child does with that discussion.
Yeah, so I'm saying that was just a side note, but I'm saying in general, I think the therapist, when she was gauging elaboration, the child accepted it and went on and on. But that one point is certainly true, but I didn't find it prominent throughout the session.
I also have noted here that they were starting a conversation about bullying and how these girls would go underneath the stall, and then she had started to talk about how she pushed the girl out of the bathroom, and then when she started trying to elaborate and ask her questions, the child moved on to something else. She didn't want to talk about that, so she was ignoring her.
There was also a point about the bullying where she was saying but she did something for a girl that was getting bullied, even though they were friends and the girl was mean, whatever. And the therapist goes, oh, so maybe you did that because you know what it's like to feel an outsider. And she just dismissed that and was yeah, it was a nice thing to do. And then kept she didn't take in the I did this because I know what it feels like. Mm-hmm. So that was a rejection of a suggestion or
something about what she did at school.
Yeah.
But she did say that, I'm a new girl at school, and the therapist was I've been moved around a lot, I've been in a bunch of different schools, so I don't know if we're talking about the same thing, but she did answer.
That did happen. I guess I just remember the part where she said about the feelings was when then the child didn't give a response to that, or she moved on.
Okay.
could be remembering it wrong, but that's why I put it in the thing originally. It was that, and then in conjunction with it, I think Saturday. But I put it in a 7, so I didn't want it to be like super high, but I noticed that it was at least present.
Right. Marguerite, you were going to say something.
That's kind of why I put it there. Now that I'm like reading the instructions again, I don't think it generally is characteristic of the session, but like I thought I noticed it happen several times, so that's why. I don't know. I felt like they were like salient. It was salient enough for me to like want to make it characteristic.
So just to add to what Margie said, so is this item really about the general vibe, or is it, because if...
Is it about what?
Like the general vibe of...
Vibe.
Or should we know this, those small instances?
Well, you're taking the entire 45-minute session as a unit of measure, right? But you have to determine whether... How many instances does it take to make something characteristic or uncharacteristic? And that's more of a subjective judgment, right? It's really how characteristic something is in relation to the other 99 items, okay? And what the kind of consensus that I'm hearing is that maybe this item belongs more in a middle pile, maybe 5. Because the times when the child did respond with elaborated play, comments or associations might cancel out the times when the child ignored or rejected the therapist's comments. And so maybe a middle pile would be more appropriate. I understand that the experts place this in 2.5, but you know, they're not infallible.
I placed it low because I went with what you're like, I went with what's more salient, and I thought that answering and commenting back was more salient. So that's why I still think it belongs low. Because I felt like...
How low did you put it?
I don't think I put it in the middle. I think... Yeah. But I'm just curious for next times, like, do you think we should focus on let small instances take over, or if... Because the general...
I can't define a rule for you about that. Mm-hmm. Because let's say... Just remember my example of the kid I treated 20 years ago who pulled his pants down in a session. That occurred in 5 seconds. He did it only one time.
Right.
And the whole thing, including my response to him, took up 5 seconds of session time. And he did it only once. But for me, and I think for you all, if you were coding that session, if it had been videotaped and you know you were coding it, you would all rate that experience as being very high on, let's say, sexual issues were discussed. You would rate that a very high, even though it happened in 5 seconds only one time. So it really depends upon how salient the behavior or the series of comments are in the session in regard to everything else that's going on in the sessions. That's why it's so difficult to tell you. I can't make up a rule about how many times, you know, how stretched out during the session, all of that. It's really more subjective with regard to the other 99 items.
I just want to, I guess, like, I rated it so low because, like, I did note those instances where, like, she did kind of just block out whatever the therapist was saying and, like, ignored her. But, like, what I noticed most about this video and their interaction was how much they were, like, engage like a back and forth conversation, and I noticed every time, not every time, but a lot of the times, most of the time, the therapist would say something or add a comment, the child would like elaborate on it or respond to it, and like the amount that happened compared to like, you know, the few times that I noticed that she ignored the therapist, like really outweighed it, so that's why I did it. So.
You know, that brings to mind a bias that psychodynamic therapists tend to have when it comes to doing therapy, and that is that we tend to give more emphasis to conflicts, problems that the patient comes to us with. And we tend to ignore, filter out any kind of positive things that go on in our patients' lives, right? So what Kasia is saying is that, yeah, there were a few times when she ignored or rejected the therapist, but and maybe if you're looking for problems in this kid, right, she's in therapy after all, you know, if you're looking for symptoms and conflicts and problems, that's going to be more salient to you. But you're ignoring maybe all the evidence that would suggest that this child did cooperate with the therapist, did elaborate on the therapist's remarks and comments, did engage in more elaborated play and associations to the therapist's remarks. We tend to filter that out because, you know, we're therapists, we're psychodynamic, we're tending to look at everything negative going on in this child. I wonder whether that might be what's going on. I'm guilty of that too. I mean, I'm a child psychoanalyst. So when I'm in play with a child in my office, you know, I'm looking for any kind of little conflict that might be going on so that I can interpret something. But that's ignoring all the positive, harmonious play that the child might be engaging in. I just kind of filtered all that out. But my goal is different from your goal. Your goal is to document through the arrangement of these items what went on in this session. Your goal is not to treat this patient and to see what conflicts might be going on, what even subtle unconscious conflicts might be going on between one doll figure and another doll figure or between you and the patient. That's not your job. Your job is to write, document or capture in these 100 items something about the essence of this therapy session. And I think that maybe what a lot of you are saying is the essence of this therapy session is that overall she was elaborating, cooperating with the therapist and responding, you know, with more elaboration to the therapist's comments and remarks and observations. Holly.
Also, I think it's important to look at the individualized context that you're talking about. Like, this kid in particular, like, doesn't seem like, at least this is just my perception, she didn't really seem like an open person. She seemed like in school, like, she doesn't like some people, and she seemed like a little bit guarded to me. She didn't seem like an open book if you put her in the context of other kids and people. So, like, when I saw her talking to the therapist, and she was then responding and opening up a little, and the therapist was like, oh, you know what it's like to feel that way, at least, I don't know, I remember this part like this, and then she was like, yeah, like, I do, and she, like, looked down a little bit. Like, that was just, like, so big for me, because she seemed generally very guarded. So the fact that she was opening the door a little bit when the therapist made some comments, that to me was, like, very, like, characteristic of that, because she could, like, I didn't expect her to be like, oh my god, yes, because that wasn't her. Like, mm-hmm. In her own way, she responded, like, very readily.
Mm-hmm. Taylor.
I don't really think that she was guarded. I just disagree, because she was so open to talk about her period and the pads and the sanitation napkins and then helping the boy with mental problems and how she likes to stand up for people in class.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like,
for that part.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, not in the therapy session regarding, like, in the therapy session, she was very open, but, like her demeanor and the way she described her relationships with other people showed me that she had some defenses.
Well, let me just clarify now. This item isn't directly addressing the patient's openness or guardedness. It's specifically designed to determine how she's responding to the therapist's comments and observations.
Right. Yeah, no, I guess
so it's in response to what the therapist is saying to her. Right? So I can come in guarded, but I'll respond directly to what my therapist might be saying to me about asking about some particular issue, but I might be guarded in the sense that maybe, you know, my grandmother died and I'm not talking about it in session, but I'm answering everything my therapist is saying and I'm responding to his comments.
Yeah, Yeah, but I'm saying that that would make, like, someone's demeanor or general temperament or demeanor or whatever, like, that is, would make that more, like, the fact that if they were to respond, like, even give a little bit, like, that would make it more, like, blatant, I don't know, if them responding to the comments versus if they already seem like an open person, I don't know.
We're not rating these items against what we think the patient might be as far as their trait, their personality traits are concerned. We're not doing that. We're simply coding what we see in front of us, not assuming anything about this patient or her personality traits. This is totally different from what you're doing in the child psychopathology course, which is using the CCQ. This is not a CCQ instrument. And so I know it's hard, these two instruments kind of maybe blend together in your head, but try to divorce them from each other as much as you can. We're not looking at personality traits at all in this instrument. This instrument is simply designed to look at interactions between the child and the therapist. It's not designed to code personality traits. In fact, on a data set that I have, not this kid, another kid, we coded for child personality traits and for psychotherapy process separately. And in fact, that's Julia's dissertation. She's looking at the relationship between child personality traits and psychotherapy process because they're not the same thing. They're, in fact, what we found is that they're very different. Now, child psychotherapy, or child personality traits can influence the psychotherapy process, but they're two separate constructs. I just want to make that very clear. So we're not thinking, okay, she's just generally a guarded person, so I'm going to expect this kind of interaction. We don't want to engage in that kind of inference.
Okay,
we're just looking at this video. And also, please, I know we're coding the same child, and actually, as we go along in this practice period with this instrument, we're going to continue coding the same child. Now, once we code the real sample, we're going to shift to a totally different child. But for now, it's the same child. Try your best not to consider previous videos you've coded when coding the current video assignment. So, like, next week you're going to be coding a different video, same child, different video, and I think same therapist as well. Do not use your knowledge about this dyad that you gained this week or the previous week. Only code the video that you've been assigned. Pretend that you didn't see previous videos. Only the 45-minute video that you've been assigned to. Does that make sense? And try not to confuse this Q sort with the CCQ. Two totally different purposes. All right? Have we beaten this item to death?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody understand it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Item 91. Let's read item 91. An earlier developmental phase is a topic. This is an item I don't think I've ever discussed in training with the CCQs. I've CPQ, so I'm interested to find out what the discussion is going to tell me about this item. Placatory characteristic direction, if there is a discussion of experience of previous developmental stages. For example, a five-year-old talks about having baby feelings, or a therapist likens arguments that an adolescent is having with his parents to toddler-like tantrums. Not a very empathic thing to say to a patient. But nevertheless, therapists have said things like that. Place toward uncharacteristic direction if discussion of current or future themes predominate over past memories or experiences. Right? So if a child is talking about going to the junior prom 2 weeks from now, you place that really in a very uncharacteristic direction because they're talking about something kind of the opposite of an earlier developmental phase. They're actually talking about something that's going to be happening in the future. All right, so let's see how you all rated this item. So the experts placed it in pile four, as you can see here. We have, now remember, plus or minus two, I'll live with. We have five, seven, that's too high. Two, four. We have one, that's too low. Two, six, three, and one, that's too low. So we have one too high and two too low, at least if we're using the experts as the gold standard. Who wants to start?
I can start again.
Okay.
I feel like she spent so much time talking about her period and, like, womanhood that, like...
Okay, so that would be, like, in the here and now or maybe even in the future.
Mm-hmm. So...
Certainly not an earlier developmental phase,
yeah,
given
so
her age.
So I put it in pile one because I felt like that was super important, that whole conversation.
I agree. That, like, really stood out to me. I feel like it's generally a sensitive topic for young girls.
Well, this is not an item that measures sensitivity. Now, if she were avoiding talking about the past, mm-hmm. I could see pile one. Because she's actually, remember we've talked about that rule that if the person's actually avoiding talking about something, you put it in pile one or two. Otherwise, it might go in a middle pile if it's just not discussed. Like an earlier developmental phase just might not be discussed, right?
Yeah.
In which case, you probably think about middle pile. But if the therapist said, you know, think about when you were a baby or when you were a toddler, do you have any memories of that? And the child responds, how about those meds? Avoiding talking about being a toddler, being a child, a younger child, then I could justify an uncharacteristic pile rating. Does that make sense? Like if she exclusively talked about her period to the exclusion of everything else, then, you know, you have my attention. I can kind of get with that. Otherwise, I'd struggle. Now, on the other hand, a seven, I think, is probably too high unless she actually talked about an earlier developmental phase and it was an important salient part of the session. Holly, can you speak to that?
Yeah, I just perceived that item as talking about instances that happened for her, because in the, like, during the therapy session, she was discussing things that happened to her and people she knew and who she likes and doesn't like in school and when she was in a previous grade. So I just took that discussion as very prominent of that item.
More prominent than the period discussion?
I did, personally, when she was talking about her peers and her interpersonal relationships and everything. I rated it high, so.
Yeah, so you rated the talking about the earlier grades much higher than talking about her period.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I feel like for a lot of this session, like I could be wrong, but I thought a lot of the session she was talking about like who she knows and who she likes and situations at school and what someone did to her and poured milk on her in this grade. And I just immediately saw that item and I was like, oh, that's definitely... rated high. So, I guess it's not a developmental stage because it's maybe recent.
Well, that's
how
That was my question of what is considered an earlier developmental phase. Is that something that happened in the past generally? Like, what is that? What counts?
Right, it's a good point. I just go back to, so a five-year-old talking about baby feelings. So that's someone who's a preschooler or middle childhood person talking about feeling like a baby. That would be like from 0 to 12 months. An adolescent acting like a toddler. So that's a 14-year-old, 15-year-old, 16-year-old acting like somebody who's 2 or 3.
Significant. Yeah.
Hmm?
It has to be significant. Like,
yeah. So this girl talking about maybe, let's say she's in sixth grade. What grade is she in?
I think sixth.
Sixth?
I
don't
know. I don't think so. Oh, is she younger?
She's like, so fifth grade?
Okay.
If she's talking about third grade, I wouldn't consider that an earlier developmental phase.
Okay.
If she's talking about kindergarten, maybe.
She did say I thought she said at one or two points that, Brooke, whatever, this person has always been evil, and that in the past she did this when I was young, and I don't know.
But how much younger? That's the question.
I thought she said a while ago, but I guess I could be wrong.
Yeah, I would be willing to accept a middle pile. If it was neither characteristic nor uncharacteristic, that would be okay too. Because then that would put you, pile 4, let's say you put in pile 5, you're only one away from the experts.
Yeah.
I can live with that. Pile 7 is just a little too high.
I would probably put it in pile 6 looking back.
Okay, that puts you within 2.
Right.
All right. So we covered the 4 most problematic items, the ones that created a standard deviation of 2 or more. On the good side, 2 of those 4 were just careless mistakes. They weren't conceptual mistakes. So that's the good news. So we actually ended up talking about only 2 items, but I think that those discussions were productive, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So let's move on to item 9. Item 9. Therapist is non-responsive versus affectively engaged. And for this particular item, you're looking at the therapist primarily, but the child has to be available to be responded to. So it's really not strictly a therapist item if you think about it that way. If a child is balled up into a corner and is trying to engage the patient, but the patient is staying balled up in a corner, you can't really say that the therapist is non-responsive. It's child's playing a role there. So let's see how people did. So the experts rated this therapist as 2.5, meaning it was characteristic of the session that this therapist was affectively engaged with the patient. Okay? So let's look at people's individual ratings. We had 2, 1, 3, 1. Great. Got no problems with any of those ratings. I mean, the ones are a little low, but okay. No problem. One, two, six, one, and six. So the 2 sixes. Are a little, am I looking at the right? Yeah, I'm looking at the right. So that would be Marguerite and Kayla. So you felt that it was neither characteristic nor uncharacteristic, but slightly on the non-responsive side.
Yeah, I felt like she was not that, like, responsive to the child. I don't know. Like, now I'm just like...
What makes you so...
Now I'm just wondering about everything.
No, I want you to be...
Questioning life.
Come back to me.
All right, Marguerite.
I feel like she... Her face didn't really change. Like, she kind of had the same facial expression throughout. That's kind of why I cut it slightly in the higher cut.
Her facial expression didn't change?
It was kind of just a little flat to me.
Did she...
The same about her tone. Like, she just didn't seem... She just seemed very neutral.
Really?
Okay.
Did she seem cool, formal, detached, emotionally withdrawn from the child?
Not necessarily withdrawn. I would say cool.
Cool toward the child? Doreen.
I actually thought she was really laughing even along and like
during the activity with the acting out thing, she was laughing, but I feel like overall she was a little bit more like cold. Not cold, but cold.
Mm-hmm. It's been a while since I've seen the video, but I can just tell you from watching it myself, she was very animated and very engaged affectively. I might have even put it higher than the experts.
I listed this as a 1 because I thought it was so, she was so...
Or lower than the experts. Yeah.
I mean, I know you think that's a little too high, but for me, my general feeling and sense was that she was very effectively engaged and, like, that wasn't even a question. And so, because even her tone, like, she was, like, really making the child feel as though the child was being heard when she was talking. And she was, like, at first, like, the first video, I didn't take it this way, but... I just tried to be open-minded, I guess. I wasn't, like, looking for anything, but the way she was sitting, she was just, like, leaning forward, and she was, her tone of voice, I didn't think was neutral. I thought it was very effectively engaging. She was like, oh, why do you think that is? And she was just so, like, engaged and involved. So I thought she did a great job with that.
Anyone else want to chime in?
I felt even her body language, like she was sometimes like sitting like that, really like looking in the eyes and like, you know, very engaging. Like she didn't seem distant to me.
And also another component that I realized that I really thought was effectively engaging for her was that she would almost mirror like a perceived emotion. Like the child would say like, oh, like, I had this experience, and I didn't really like it, or whatever, just an example. And she was like, oh, why didn't you like it? And she was really, like, her tone of voice was almost reflecting the emotion that the child was expressing.
Remember, I had trouble with this one last year, or a similar one last year, and it was, like, separating, like, boring versus responsiveness. Like, she's not... most interesting person, I guess, that you can talk to, but she's a therapist, so she's not supposed to be like, oh my gosh, I'm like, oh, you know, that kind of stuff. But she responds to everything that the child's saying, and she's asking questions, and she changes the tone of her voice, and so she's not monotone, but she's not...
Yeah, we're not expecting her to be like a babysitter or like a mom. So she has to remain professional in her role as a therapist. She's not going to act wild and crazy like I act with Carlin. It's just not happening. Mm-hmm. I would never treat a patient the way I treat Carlin. It's a different relationship. Mm-hmm. Marguerite, does that make sense? Would you bump your rating down?
Yeah.
Where would you put it after this discussion? Okay. How about you? 3? It's good for me. All right. So, we'll do a couple more. 71. Child engages in make-believe play. Did we discuss this one a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I think after the first...
yeah, I think we did too. All right, so I've already discussed the item, so let's look at where we placed it. So we have standard deviation is 1.9, fairly high. We've got... 6 was the experts. 5, 7, 7, 4. No problems with any of those ratings. Six, one, seven, five, seven. So the one is the outlier. Who was that?
I don't know.
That was you?
Why I did that.
So you felt that the child did not engage in make-believe play.
Yeah.
Play was totally concrete and rule-bound. There was no... She refusing imaginary dialogue with the pieces of a game.
I don't know why I wrote that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
You're just going to wave the white flag right away on that one.
Playing the game, but it should be one.
Okay. All right. So that now number three. Let's see. Therapist remarks are aimed at encouraging child speech. So how do you encourage child speech? Can you talk about that? Or encourages child to be afraid of the dark? So this item encompasses a couple of ways in which you could interpret encouraging. Encouraging could mean like, oh, tell me more. Uh-huh, yeah, okay, yeah, let's hear some more about that. Or... encouraging a child to engage in some kind of activity. Say to yourself, I'm a brave girl. I can take care of myself in the dark, which is something a CBT therapist would do, but a psychodynamic therapist would not do. Or uncharacteristic of the therapist does not actively encourage child's verbalizations or interrupts or excessively reframes child's statements. Oh, that's not what you mean. What you really mean to say is blah, blah, blah. That's not really encouraging. So let's see where you guys put that. I think this is a difficult item to rate, actually.
Wait, but isn't that a limitation, these sort of ambiguous items, isn't that a limitation of this measure? Because what if she does the encouraging, tell me more part, but she does the complete opposite of the... You're a brave girl. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's like me. So how I work in a session is that I can be encouraging. And tell me more about that. Let's hear more about that. Or, I understand what you're saying. That was really hard for you. And I don't give any kind of, you know, tell yourself in this situation, I'm bigger than the bully. I can stand up to the bully, but still not throw the first punch. I would never say that to a patient. So I kind of fall in the category that you're identifying. But you just have to be able to rate this item in relation to all the other items. Are my encouraging, like, tell me more about that. Uh-huh. Oh, I can really understand how you might feel. Are those comments characteristic of the session, or are they more uncharacteristic of the session, given all the other items' placements?
So even if one piece of the item... like it's very salient, like even if the other piece isn't salient, then you would still rate it.
If that one piece is very salient, yes. Okay. You could put it in pile 9, even if I don't tell the patient to do something. Doreen.
I'm just curious, it's off topic, but you just mentioned if the child tells you in therapy that people are making fun of him in school or he's being bullied. So how would you, give him the skills to deal with that if you want to tell him that?
Well, the question becomes, how important are skills to the process of psychotherapy? Are they important to you or are they not important to you? From my way of working, they're not so important. It's what's driving the lack of skill, for example, or the lack of instinct in what to do in that situation. In other words, my hypothesis might be that the child is suffering from low self-esteem or low self-worth, and that's where I'm going to be targeting my intervention, not at the surface level, like this is what you do when a bully tries to beat you up. You should do X, Y, and Z. I'm not really so interested in that level. I'm more interested in the deeper level of why this person is placing themselves in situations in which they're being bullied and why they can't think of ways of extricating themselves from that situation. That's a deeper level of inquiry and exploration that someone like me with my background would be more likely to address.
But isn't building self-esteem takes a long time? And if this kid is being bullied, he doesn't want to go to school.
Well,
then...
this is off topic,
right.
And I want to get back to training. But just to answer your question, I'm working not only with the child, but I'm also working with the parents and with the teacher. And so I might say to the teacher, look, this kid says he's getting bullied. Can you keep an eye on him and see what's going on and tell me what you see? So it's not like I'm allowing this kid to be a punching bag at school, and I'm not doing anything about it. But I don't think that just skill building is helpful in the end, in the long run. That's why I've chosen to be a psychodynamic therapist, not a CBT therapist. So. Sure. So this was item 3. And the standard deviation was 1.83, and the composite score from the experts was 6.5. So almost characteristic, almost. We got 7, we got 9, that's too high. 5, 7 is okay. Who had the 9?
Probably me.
Let me see. Holly. All right. So five, six, 3 is too low, 8. And 4 is too low. So who had the 3 and the 4? Kayla and Marguerite. Okay. So who wants to address this issue? I mean, the 4, you're just so close to being 2 away. But the 3, who had the 3? Okay.
Honestly, I think it got pushed for me. I don't think it's actually. I would have put it more in the middle pile.
Okay. But even a 4 would be too low. I mean, the 2 experts rated this item like almost characteristic. Holly.
Yeah, I really felt like this one was characteristic. I don't know. Maybe I thought it turned in too extreme of terms, but I, like I said.
Well, 9 means that, okay, if there are 100 items in this Q sort deck, right? Of the 100 items, this item was one of the 5 absolute most characteristic elements of this session that her remarks were aimed at encouraging this child. That was like.
I mean, I did feel that. I don't know why. I just felt that. There were so many instances where she literally said to her, wow, tell me more about that, and what do you think of that, and how does that make you feel, and just so many things that encouraged more further speech, and even when the child didn't, like those few instances when the child didn't respond, then the therapist would kind of accept that, but then wait a little bit, and there would be another instance where she would be like, "Oh, tell me more about that." And I don't know. I just thought I saw that, and I was thinking that was definitely a 9. I mean, like.
Could you bump it down to an 8?
Yeah, I could push it down to an 8. I can compromise.
Doreen, what did you think about this one?
I thought it's very characteristic, but not to a point where I would put it like all the way. So she was encouraging, absolutely, but it wouldn't be perfect for me. So whatever I rated it, was it like a 6 or a 7? That's what I believe it belongs. Probably a 7.
Okay. Let's do one more, then we'll call it a night. You guys are doing really well. So 23. This item, it's come up before, and every time that I train a group, whether it's in New York or Brazil or Turkey or London, this item always gives potential or prospective coders problems.
It's such a controversial item.
It is. It is. It seems to be. Place toward characteristic direction if interaction is kept to a single or a few primary foci. For example, child plays out or conveys repetitively his desire to be the sole object of another's attention. Now, they could use different ways of expressing that, but this theme remains constant. Or, uncharacteristic if multiple topics are discussed, or if interaction seems to lack a direction or focus, or seems somewhat diffuse. We talked about this item in supervision, didn't we? When we talked about the ideal?
Yeah.
I thought we did. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's see how people did. Standard deviation is 1.83. The experts obviously disagreed slightly. So overall, they averaged in 5.5. So basically a middle pile. We have an 8, which is outside plus or minus 2. We got 4, we got 6, we got 7. So the 8 is a little too high. Who was the 8? Okay. Let's just hold that thought. And you got company. 8. 3 is too low, 6 and 4. All right, so the 3 8s, so we've got Amanda, Kasia, and Cheryl, and Marguerite had the 3, right? Yes. So, who wants to start? If we did.
No, I'm confused because I did that. Like, last week I thought it was uncharacteristic because I thought that there were multiple, because we discussed what a few meant. And then I thought this time it was a few, which is what I still think. So I put it in the game. So now I'm just confused.
So you think that this session provided a pretty specific focus or theme?
A few of them, yeah.
A single or a few. Can you name them?
I can name that.
You know, it's fun.
Huh?
Okay, the first conversation about her period growing up. And
okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Then they moved. Okay, there was something in the middle. I don't remember what happened in the middle. And then
okay.
Maybe. And then the end was the game. And then them playing the game.
Okay, there was also bullying.
Right.
There was the mental health
school.
So I thought.
So that's 4 right there.
The bullying and the mental health. I put all those under the category of like school or interpersonal.
That's too broad. That's too broad.
Wait,
look at the example of a theme. Desire to be the sole object of another's attention. That's a specific theme. School isn't really a theme. We're looking at something a little bit more specific than just school or home. You know, we're looking at something a little bit more specific, like an actual theme. Like, I want to be your everything. That is a theme. But just school, too broad. So if you really break it down, I think you'll find that there are probably more than three themes or foci that were bandied about in this session. As I recall, there were more than three.
So I'm mainly literally on the same thing, like the period conversation,
okay,
the school, and the cranium.
And the, so, what about the bullying?
I put that on the school category.
Body.
So I thought about the exact same thing as well. But now that you're saying it, yeah, like bullying, friends, like, you know, you talked about multiple things.
Yeah, like, I have lots and lots of friends. I see bullying going on at school. Those are actual themes. But so I think school is too broad a category. We want something a little bit more substantive, the sole object of another's attention. Now that's pretty specific.
I thought the same thing. I think I got confused on the last one. After it says multiple topics, if interaction seems to lack direction or focus, I thought, like, although they were, like, multiple topics, they were kind of, like, related to each other, like, under the category of school, but now I understand, like, it's very specific.
Right. So she could engage in different modes of play, different discussions, but it could all be tied into the theme of, I want to be the sole object of your attention. Right? When I watched this video, I didn't see that at all. Like, how are periods related to bullying? You know, unless they're making fun of her because she got her period, but that wasn't the case. So I would put it in the middle pile for myself. And on the other hand, it wasn't, like, really diffuse either. It wasn't like she was scattered all over the place and flitting from one topic to another seemingly out of nowhere. I didn't see that either. So I think a middle pile is probably where, you know, I could justify this item the best.
Should be eliminated, this item.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like it could be so loosely interpreted.
I'm trying to help. That's what we're doing the training for.
No, I know, but I feel like no matter how much we interpret it, it's still going to be such a difficult item once we're doing it, because I don't know.
Well, we can't make a 99 item Q sort.
I know.
So we can't eliminate the item. All right. So we have to live with it. And given the fact that we have to live with it, let's try to define it as best we can so that we can be as reliable as we possibly can be with this item. Knowing that maybe this item will always be an item in which we often disagree.
Yeah.
But there are 99 other items that are going to help us to achieve reliability. You can look at it that way.
I was just kidding.
Okay. All right, thanks everybody.
Okay.
And you have distributed.
I have.
Okay. And Kayla had difficulty with her video last week.
I borrowed Holly's.
What happened?
Do you have your laptop for me now?
My laptop's not going to be helpful because
it's
the worst thing in my life right now.
So, do you have trouble with the flash drive or your laptop?
The flash drive would only play sound, so I tried it on a bunch of different computers.